Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation on this, the end of the world week of the church year, is recorded in the 65th chapter of the book of Isaiah, reading or beginning with verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. May be seated. Come on, Isaiah. New heavens, a new earth. Really? I mean, really? Haven't we been sold that utopian bill of goods so many times before? Haven't individuals of far greater means promised the world, only to make it so very much worse? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. For the word utopia literally means, from the Greek, no place. The sooner people get that, the better we'll all be. So then, what should we make of Isaiah's theme? Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. But how do we get so cynical and jaded? Too many wannabe messiahs have imposed their versions of paradise on us already. And too many people have become the collateral damage of those social engineering experiments. The Enlightenment only compounded these efforts when it dethroned God in our world. Thereafter, man was only all too happy to assume God's throne on a more permanent basis. But what happens when man, who is supposed to be the manager or the steward of creation, attempts to assume the throne of God? The 17th century Frenchman Blaise Pascal once remarked that whenever man tries to play God, he only becomes a beast in the process. Sad to say, the French Revolution made his words prophetic. For what began as a quest for liberty, fraternity, and equality for all became a secularizing reign of terror that murdered priests en masse, turned churches into temples of reason, and cut off the very heads of the same guys who set this horror in motion. Since then, both conservatives and liberals have committed genocide, all in the name of a new world order. Nazi Germany killed 6 million Jews. Not to be outdone, Marxist Russia killed at least 7.5 million Ukrainians. And that's just under Stalin alone. Unless we think that we Americans are immune from utopian fantasies, just observe how pundits and the media have cast the last 3 presidential administrations in messianic terms. We still haven't learned St. Augustine's warning not to confuse the kingdoms of this world with the kingdom of God. At bottom, we become so cynical because we have all forgotten that we are sinful creatures, not the holy creator. Only God has a truth that can truly bring peace to all people and not marginalize a single soul. But sin has spawned a God complex in each one of us that won't be happy until it's the boss. For let's be honest, you wouldn't be happy if I was God any more than I'd be happy if you were God. But the only way that I can usurp God's throne is to substitute my truth for God's truth and then to impose it on you with all I got. For at bottom, each and every one of us wants to hold the puppet strings. Now, I don't even need to have to point to LGBTQ legislation in America to make my point. For when we get angry when other people don't suffer our entitlement, our disrespect, our substance abuse, our laziness, our free sex, our jealousy, you name it, we each then become a tyrant and a false god to our neighbor. This is why God is so furious whenever we sully his name. You see, we were meant to bear the name of God in this world, in all that we say and do. But instead of reflecting God to our neighbor, more often than not, we have seeded doubts in the minds of others, just like Satan did in the garden. Now, we can disingenuously blame the godless secularists for the rise of agnosticism in our midst. But if we were really honest with ourselves, it's the continual, unrepentant, dallying around with unrepentant sin that really is the chief cause of our world's doubt in the promise that God can bring about a new heaven and a new earth. For if we're really honest with ourselves, it's cheap grace Christianity that has done far more to de-evangelize our world than anything any atheist could possibly accomplish. Brothers and sisters, the first lesson of our text today is that if we don't repent, really repent, and amend our lives in true faith and repentance, then we can expect something far worse than a French guillotine. Yet despite all of this, despite all of this real reality, there is still hope. If we repent of our sins, there is forgiveness. More than that, we can take comfort in God's promise of a new heaven and a new earth. Our Creator God really will bring about something that far transcends all man-made utopias, all man-made promises of paradise on this earth. The Hebrew word bara, used in our text, meaning to create, drives this very point home. For man can indeed fashion, make, produce many things out of God's creation, but only God can create something out of nothing. Consider once the heavens and the earth below your feet. If God once created the only tangible new paradise, the only tangible heavens and earth that mankind has ever known, then what reason do we have to doubt that he does not want to and that he will not create a new heavens and earth for each and every one of us? Brothers and sisters, has God ever went back on any of his promises to us? If that were not enough, our text indicates that God is already creating these new heavens and this new earth in us. For one of the most beautiful parts of the Passion of the Christ film is when Jesus collapses under the weight of his heavy cross. It's at that moment that his mother runs out to meet him. He lifts up his bloody, holy head and then utters these words, "Behold, I make all things new." Now, these words were not spoken on the Via Dolorosa, but the film was right to put them at this point in the film. Where St. Paul explains, God set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. You see, recreation is not about executing a God complex on others. It's about graciously self-giving of yourself to others. Jesus did exactly that when he took into himself all the disorder of this world in order to reorder it anew in himself, but in order to turn sin and death into grace and life, he suffered and died and rose again for each and every one of us. To be sure, this mystery remains hidden to all those without the eyes of faith, and it will not reach its consummation until the last day. But that faith that was created in each and every one of our hearts is already the glorious beginning of our full resurrection and transfiguration in Christ. St. Paul drives this very point home when he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." We even see this in our vocations. For while our holy life is never the cause of our salvation, we could never really love and serve our fellow man in any genuine way if new life in Christ wasn't already pulsating through our veins. Finally, we can be glad and rejoice because God doesn't promise us chintzy man-made utopias. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't give us even more details about what the new heaven and the new earth is really going to be like? The reason for this is because no human description can begin to describe or to capture how truly extraordinary it would be. Every description would only cheapen it. But we do know that it will be so wonderful that the most heinous human atrocities will be forgotten. For God will so annihilate their existence that not even he will remember them. The sounds of weeping and the cry of distress that punctuates so much of human daily existence will cease. And indeed, we will genuinely love one another. More than that, we will be a joy and gladness to another. In fact, we will even be besties with all of those people, all of those fellow Christians on this earth that were really difficult to live with. If that's not a profound mystery, I don't know what is. To be sure, we have seen many false messiahs, and we will probably see a whole lot more of them before we all get to bask in uncreated light and the splendor we hear about in our hymn today. But brothers and sisters, in this last week of the church year, repent, hold fast to Christ, for behold, God is already creating a new heaven and a new earth. And I look forward to seeing each and every one of you there. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And let us pray. Almighty and eternal merciful God, by your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you established the kingdom of grace for us in your holy church here on earth, that we might believe the forgiveness of our sins, since you are a God who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn away from this life and live. We beseech you graciously, forgive us of all our sins, through the same, your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Continue with the hymn.
Thank you. our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.